Hi, everybody. David Donaldson here with another episode of Entrepreneurial Impact. Boy, I blew that. Joe, I blew the intro. You've been blowing it for weeks, and I haven't blown it in a year. 2 years, tops, and karma. I blew it.
Karma. Karma is what that is.
It is karma. I got punched in the nose. Okay, let's try that again. 5, 4. Hi, everybody. David Donaldson here with another episode of Entrepreneurial Impact. Here with my associate and cohort, Joseph Martin, and I'm very excited today to talk about culture. We, as an organization, talk about culture, and somebody said something to me recently that culture is a word that's used so often that it's actually probably watered down and maybe has lost its luster a little bit. And I didn't necessarily disagree with the statement. However, I disagree with the thought that culture has lost its luster. So, because I know words can be played on words and just completely abused. We're coming out of, in May, we every year have this thing called Red Day. For those of you that aren't with Keller Williams, this is a day of the year where we as an organization shut down, close our businesses, and pour back and do different things at the community. Now, we do a lot of great things each year, from individual business owners to market centers and an organization. But this is our one day that we really kind of say, hey, globally, we're going to stop and pay back. Joe, when I say culture, or if I say it's watered down, how does that sit with you?
You know, what I think about culture is that I think let's start off with like what culture is not. Okay. I think that might be the easiest way to start.
That's fair.
Culture is not a bunch of words on a wall that say that like, oh, look, we're a cultural fit. We put words and decals on a wall. You know, you see a lot of companies now that like, and it's cool, right? It's a cool experience when you walk into something or an organization that you're not a part of or you're not like in the weeds with, and you see what they stand for or what's important to them or what the guiding North Star is. And, you know, it's edgy. It's cool. It's the thing that's kind of trending about culture. But just because you have words up there doesn't do anything. I think the other thing I see a lot with culture that it's not is a sword. And what I mean by that is you see culture is supposed to be inclusive. The idea of culture is that you have these North Star ideas that bring people together. And I see a lot of times culture is used as a sword to cut people down, meaning like, oh, they're a terrible person because they don't fit our culture. Or that's out of culture, so hence they must die, and I'm going to bring them to the guillotine slab, and I'm going to cut their head off, right? And you know, I say that as a funny like interjection or shock value is that, you know, I catch myself a lot of times is that, you know, I was raised in the Catholicism all through. It wasn't planned like this, but from you know kindergarten through actually college, all Catholic parochial schools. But I was always taught the idea of grace and being, you know, humans are fallible. So this idea that like thee without sin can cast the first stone. And I see a lot of stuff with culture is that they're out of culture. We must slay them. And I laugh because I'm like, well, you're telling me that you've never had a bad day, or you haven't made a mistake, or you haven't been out of culture in some form or fashion because some other driving need outsourced your decision in the moment of emotion. And I think the one thing I have about culture right now is it should be inclusive. And if nothing else, the culture of a company should really, during these times of like down market and economy and all these other stressors that we have, is that the one thing I think culture needs to stand for is grace. Yes, I have a daughter named Grace. But what I mean is give people some grace. You don't know what's going on. You don't know anything that's going on in the background, right?
I think you hit it on the head, right? You're saying way I look is like culture doesn't fit in a box, right? It all those things, it doesn't have a specific answer to what it is, right? And culture to me kind of fits in a couple of different avenues, right? There's the initial nuance of that you know what it is when you see it, right? You treat somebody well, you experience something well, it's support, it's help. And on its further side, it's really its outreach. And it could be charitable, it could be donations, it could be support, it can be pouring into a community, a lot of those things. There's a whole different avenue to saying, I recognize when I see it and I like it, I want to be a part of that. It's completely inverse when you experience it, right? When you've had to be the recipient of culture. And again, not in a box, because that presents in many different ways. It prevents and support. It, and I don't necessarily just mean support, like we're there for you, right? Yeah. It's picking up and doing something for somebody, right?
You said something that totally, like, I don't know where this came from, but you triggered something in me when you brought up, I think culture is experiential and it's a feeling, right? So that's why I was like leading with, you know, when it's there and you know when it's not there, but it's not a tangible scoreboard or metric that you can check a box off and say, yep, we covered it. Now that's why I laugh when there's like all this like culture on a written on a wall. It's like, we checked the box off. I know that everybody nowadays wants to have a cultural based business. So let me put it on the wall and I check the box off. Now we're culturally based. It's that experience that you're talking about. And it, you can't necessarily put a lead indicator on it or some type of like, I'm going to do this activity every day and we're going to have great culture, right? That you have a guiding North Star once again of this is what we want to ascend to be aspirationally. And every day we build towards that fulfillment of that experience of people or we detract from it. And I think if more times, 9 times out of 10, you go forward positively and then you stumble a little bit. But I think that's the intent of it. Your organization has to all believe in a certain guardrail. And I think that's what our belief system and our standards are with culture is that if everyone believes in these things, how you get there, you don't really care.
Right.
But the end is that like there's some level of higher being besides just being profitable.
You know, I think a lot of times when they think culture, they think charitable. I think that's just the easiest definition for a lot of people a lot of times. But that's not always the case because you think about we talk about success through measures, right? How do we track something? How do we measure something? Culture really is something that can be very hard to put a statistic around and say that we have culture, right? Because it's only experienced visually or personally, right? But at the same time, I think to a degree, it's measured through attrition or turnover. Right? Because if you have high turnover or if you have attrition or if you challenge holding on to people, okay, maybe you do need to look at culture to a degree because that is a component of an environment, right? Yeah. Do people like to show up to the office? Do you enjoy showing up to the office? How do you engage with others? How do you react to others in times of stress and need and challenge, right? We're in a challenging market, right? So how do you express yourself? How do you react to challenge in itself is culture.
Yeah, it's funny you bring that up is that you can't, I mean, if you really got digged into it, you'd probably find some metrics around it if you wanted to, but I don't think anyone ever wants to get a spreadsheet out and bring out their calculator to figure out whether or not what's our grade on culture.
Well, that devalues it, but I'm just talking, metric is the number that I think it's a measurable thing. We try to, and it's hard to say we know there's value in it, but because you can't measure it, there's a lot of things out there like security. How do we know we're secure? You pay for things until you need it. But culture is something that you always need and you don't realize you're lacking it until you're struggling in certain areas that certainly do become measurable.
Yeah. And I think when I look at culture, I think it's impact. And I think this is the cool part about culture. You can talk about it or think about it differently is that impact is, did your supervisor be there for like a death, right? Or did they remember a significant milestone in your career? Or did they pick up the phone at 9 p.m. because there was like a substantial problem, right? That's one part of culture because you care for people. I think the other part of culture is that like, did they actually make an impact? Meaning like, if you looked at as a supervisor, like everybody that's listening as a leader, like look at the people that are in your direct report to, right? As a like a management chain and just do a self-reflection of all the people that you've been responsible for. Did they actually become a better version of themselves under your like time spent together, right? And I think that's a really good indicator because if you're actually caring about the people development, that becomes impact and that becomes a culture of taking care of your people first. And if you take care of your people first, any customer service, like restaurant, business, whatever, take care of the people first, you typically get the bottom line impact, right? And I think that's a big piece in culture. To go back to your point though, Dave, is when you talk about culture and what we stand for, I think the one way to define culture is that, hey, if this is our belief system and these are all the things that we believe in, right? I know the easiest way in our company is that bring up the belief system. And if you're in a challenging situation, typically it's in a challenging situation, you set the belief system down and say, we're going to make the decision on this through these this lens, right? And don't get me wrong, you could also, when you make awesome things and it's not a challenging situation, you should also slap down a belief system and recall and kind of reflect back on, hey, look at this amazing outcome that we had. How many of these belief systems did we actually like accomplish in this amazing success? And I think if you do that enough, you can start to create a story that shows, hey, we did all these amazing things for the business as far as profitability or growth, whatever it may be. And because we hit those metrics, these, I don't know, all these belief systems, like, I don't know, we had a, look how many individual stories got actually impacted through it.
Absolutely. And again, you can look at culture and we could talk, and we talked to so many business owners, and you look back over the 100 plus episodes that we've done and the different business owners we've met with, a big part of their business and their mission supported their culture. Or their culture supported their mission and their business, right? They've gone out, like we've talked to people that went across borders in Ukraine. We've talked to people that have left their home country and now their mission is to kind of give back to the people through their hands and healing, right? We've talked to others that have dug wells and go across different countries. And all of those things are driven by their mission because they have a belief system of culture, and they're not measuring their success on how many wells they build or how many people they've saved or how they've helped. But that's something that's inert to them that without it, they couldn't be successful. But the success in business helps them in other ways and keeps that culture alive.
So there was something I was reading recently about culture. It might have been, man, what was it? I'll find the book later, but the whole concept was this like symbiotic relationship between culture and community.
Okay.
And what was really insightful for me is I'd never seen culture and community like talked about this way. And it was like, oh, now I get it. And it actually it had to do with the evolution of businesses and the people that work there. Right. So like what ends up happening, let's think about like, because this podcast is entrepreneurial impact, which means we have a bunch of entrepreneurs in here that usually are the CEO, founder, capital raise, funder, as well as the front door opener, bathroom cleaner, and everything in between, right? So absolutely. We have the CEO founder title on there, but we realize that everything in the startup has to happen through you, right? So by hook or by crook and just grit through it. But what's cool, what I thought was so cool about this conversation about culture and community was the founder of a company usually puts up these belief systems, these way of doing business, right? That is better than what they've experienced in the past, right? Like people before profit, right? Or win-win. You hear a lot of like those type of things. And these are the belief systems that we work really hard and we play really hard, right? Or that we have a balanced life. So yeah, we don't actually really care about like crazy deadlines. We want you to have quality of life and travel or whatever, right? So there's all different beliefs. They're not right. They're not wrong. But the founder creates this and puts it out there so that he attracts people to that vision directly, right, of what that belief system is. And that's our culture, right? And then over time, the individuals that have different experiences, different beliefs, different behaviors, take those belief systems that were up there by the founder and internalize that and have different interpretations of them, right? Like win-win might not be profit and the goal. It could be that the win-win was I helped this client and I got home on time to be with my kid. So the interpretation of what these things are starts to evolve based on the community that you attract to. So then all of a sudden you get all these people. You go from 10 employees to 100. And the 10 people knew exactly what the CEO meant by these belief system. But as you get 100 people into your organization, that 100 people have a different interpretation of what that culture words are that are up on the wall. And now that community is internalizing it and they're showing up and following those belief systems. And now that culture is morphed into the community. And that the community is showing up in actions and beliefs of the culture. And then over time, what the original founder thought was the culture that defined it is actually directed by the community, by the people that are there. And that's what I think is really interesting about culture is that it evolves over time based on the people you attract and the community that's like attracted to it and how they make it their own. Because we all want like agency, right? And authenticity and things that resonate to us, right? Yeah. And I think it's really cool how over time the community evolves the original culture to the culture of version 2.0. And what needs to be really like praised rather than like fought by the original founder is that you should, instead of being like, no, that's not the culture I defined 100 years ago or whatever it may be, it's that it's actually a beautiful, it's like a caterpillar to a butterfly effect, is that this was what we originally had. And then because of the people we attracted to this vision that had the same belief system in some way or fashion of mine, that might not be exactly it, then take it to their own and deliver it out to the, like the world. And then it morphs into something different. And the founder needs to be okay with the fact that the culture morphs and changes, because the community that you built got so wide that you're now attracting such a more like broader scale.
I don't see how it can't. Right. You can only control it so much, and then it becomes a life on its own. That's kind of really what you're saying. Right. When we look at businesses or organizations that expand through growth, right, you can have the preliminary saying, this is what we believe in, this is who we are as an organization. But through levels of leadership and expansion and locations, that does take on a mind of its own and almost like a subculture to the community. Right. That is expressed upon from those leaders down to their people, because it becomes their interpretation of how they were affected by things that they came up underneath, right? Here's a perfect example of that. And like I said, sometimes culture is, I think a lot of times based around tragedy, but it really can be derived other ways when you open your eyes, understand that through relationships and communication lives culture too. In this market that is so challenging for so many people, not just our business owners, but the consumers that they represent, particularly buyers, right? People that are in need for a home. We see a lot of buyers well-qualified looking to acquire homes, but lose a lot of times because a large percentage of the homes are paid for with cash, right? That number could be as high as 25 to 35% of the homes being purchased. People are losing to cash buyers, let alone being in a multiple bid situation. So just recently, I have a very unique situation with a client looking to fire home in a very specific area, which is complicating itself. Made a strong pitch for a deal, lost out on the deal to a cash buyer. I spoke with the listing agent about the deal and expressed, this is why it's so important to my consumer. If your sellers could see their way around the cash attraction, right? This is why it's important to my seller. Gave the whole rundown. At the end of the day, couldn't get it done, but the selling agent at the time didn't make us submit an offer to drive up the other offer, right? Was very honest and said, hey, they're just going to go with cash. And so they actually left some money on the table, theoretically, because they could have used us against each other. That was amazing to me, okay, first and foremost, that we were able to have that conversation. There's a second component to that. I happened to just bump into another agent talking about that neighborhood and that transaction, to where that agent was the one that got the house for his buyer, okay? And it turns out he was the buyer. So it was the agent was the buyer, my person lost out. But because we had a relationship and because I was able to have a conversation with them, we were able to work out a deal where he let my buyer have the house, he backed out of the deal. Right? So there was a benefit for him because a sense of community. He recognized somebody in his community where he specializes in his business. He heard a story of want and need through my consumer. Right now, there's some win for his side too. I'm not going to kind of devalue that, but these are things that are happening every day that very easily could have been looked upon in a negative aspect. Hey, we lost another house. It's buyer this. It's a cash. We can't win. But we had a visualization and a communication and respect of each other that we were able to make something good. I know that's a long-winded story, but that's a different way to look at things that I recently got to go through on a journey with one of my consumers.
Well, I think what you're bringing up is that I always say to, or at least how do I get through life with people, is that we have to realize that there's certain rules. Like, life is not built on rules. I think the rules are like, you know, don't kill somebody, don't kill somebody, drive on the right side of the road, have some like limits for safety purposes. There's certain rules that are like transcendent that you have a government put on you, but then the rest of the life, it has to do with like people's beliefs, their morals, and how they see the world. And I think a lot of times we get into this cultural thing of that my interpretation of what culture is based on the words on the wall is different than your interpretation of what those things mean.
Yes. So
a lot of conflict happens inside of like organizations or communities when it comes to their cultural beliefs, because your experience in the world and how you were raised believing something is different than mine. So a lot of the conflict comes from the fact that we have different experiences and different interpretations of what those words on the wall means. And I think a lot of that can be interpreted very well with two words, or understood, is grace and curiosity. And I think when we come to, I think the best cultures are really founded in having grace for people that they're fallible. And I don't think they, you know, positive intent is one of the best things you ever do, so you don't have conspiracy theories. But I do love a good conspiracy theory. I really I'm still wondering if this, still wondering if this Earth is flat. But
here we go.
Yes,
Joe, they landed on the moon.
Yeah. Well, you notice that you never see a full picture of Antarctica whenever they do the moon pictures. We're just going to go down the, that's for another day.
What are you doing?
For anybody that's a Kyrie Irving fan as they go into games five here. But my point being is that if you have grace and you have a level of curiosity, I think sometimes even though your first reaction isn't the best, you can actually calm yourself to be like, okay, I care about this person. I realize that they have different experiences, different beliefs, different morals, different, you know, how they operate life. And if we can come to an understanding of how to seek to understand, it's going to make everything a lot easier. And we get away from the emotional sabotaging and roller coaster of this person blatantly came out to do this. And that goes back to my point of using culture as a sword to slash people down, as opposed to a tool to attract a community and build strong bonds of people who care about each other.
Absolutely. And I think you can even throw on top of that, be wary of pride and principle, right? And beware the assumptive expectation, like you were alluding to, that derides everything, right? Keeping eyes open, keeping heart open, keeping ears open, and reading the situation as a whole. Okay. And again, that's my interpretation, but alludes and breeds culture by how you treat other people.
Yeah. I would agree.
All right. Well, listen, I love when we have this conversation, and I hope that this connects with everybody at home, and not just, as my son says, hey, it's Red Day. It's his favorite holiday of the year. And also constantly reminds me that, hey, why don't we do this more often? That's what sticks with me when he says, why don't we do this more often? So I challenge you, Joe, and I challenge everybody else that's listening. Why don't you do this more often as far as giving back, being open, and being yourself? And just being the best person you can be.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning into this week's episode of Entrepreneurial Impact. And we'll see you next week.